You know, the Bible is very clear. And for those of you who may feel a little uncomfortable and think, okay, here we are at the Bible study, here we are at Girlfriend's Bible study, and now we're talking about sex, we're talking about intimacy, we're talking about something that is so extremely personal. But we do this on a regular basis, once a year at least, because we know how important it is. We know it is personal. We know it is something you may not be comfortable talking about. But we want you to know that God cares. He created you a sexual being. He created us male and female. And His Word has all the answers that we may have. And as I said when I prayed, that we are so able to mess things up on our own, aren't we? What God created for good. Yes, Pastor Michelle, sex is God's idea. It was never Satan's idea. So let's get with the program. Let's see what God has. The Word of God has been clear since the Old Testament, where God gave the law and told people how to live. In the New Testament, we see people come to Jesus and say to Him, Jesus, what is the most important thing? And He answers, and this answer indicates it all has to do with others. First of all, He says we have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and everything that is within us. And next of all, He says, love one another, love others as yourself. Now, we know that and we hear that, but somehow we exclude that when it comes to marriage. We somehow think we are married, and that scripture does not always include the husband, does not always include the boyfriend, because I know him, he gets on my nerves, I'm treating these things as common. But listen, that scripture, the scriptures about how we treat each other, just look up a little bit in the concordance or search on your phone or computer one another in the Bible, and you see all the scriptures come up about how we are supposed to treat one another. And we can say, yeah, we get it. We have to do these things. I want to be a good Christian woman. I want to do what God expects me to do until trouble hits. Somehow when trouble hits, my heart is offended or my heart is broken or things don't work out the way I like it to work out, then we take the lower road so many times. And we want to tell you, listen, girls, you never have to take the low road. You never have to take the flesh road. You never have to take the earthly, the worldly route in this. You are able to. If you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you are able to take the high road, which means that you want to live and respond, even to pain, the way God would want for you to respond, because that is the way to blessing. When you have a choice and you take the low road, you are going down, right? When you take the high road, you are on your way to blessing like you've never seen before. And I will just go as far as to saying many of us girls, and many of you may be sitting here, have never done that. You've always taken the road according to the flesh and according to what other people do and the world says, and there is a better way. There is a high road. So get hope in that. In your situation, if you say, my life is so messed up, I don't know where to go, I have just made so many mistakes, you are here for a reason, and God wants to speak to you. So when trouble comes, we treat each other like common. We want instant results. We live in the past. So many ways of taking the low road. But listen, God cares about your sexuality. And this is included in this scripture. Listen to this, 2 Peter 1 verse 3. As His divine power, not the government, not the school system, not the world. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So according to the Word of God, you have what it takes. He, through His power, has given you everything. But the fact is, people are reckless. People are irresponsible. There are huge consequences. If this area of your life is not in God's plan, your health is at stake. Listen, you sleep around, you're going to get sick. Basically, the Bible says if you sin sexually, you sin against yourself. Your health is at stake. Your destiny is at stake. Your future and your testimony is at stake. And we're going to talk about that. This is not a free-for-all area of life. Your sexuality. It's not a free-for-all. Singles are doing many times go with the flow of the circumstances. Marrieds allow the flesh to dictate. Everyone today, if you are not controlled by the Holy Spirit, is out to gratify your own flesh. When you start saying, hey girl, you don't deserve that. We talk amongst each other and you talk to the girl that is complaining about, you know, the boyfriend or the husband, and you say, hey, you don't deserve that. Or you say, I don't deserve that. You are already in the red zone. That's the red zone right there, okay? So I have a little handout that I want to give you before we get started to set the tone. I have a couple more minutes. I've got a handout in the back. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we have a big crowd today. Just as quickly as you can, maybe girls in the back, can you help? I have a little assessment that I'm going to have you do that's going to set you up for the panel, okay? And my word that I want to base the whole panel and the whole discussion on is the word honor. Because in relationships, nothing is in order if there is no honor. If you don't honor each other, what are you going to care? Anyway, you're not going to care what you say. You're not going to care what you do. So you know what I did? I made you a little assessment of a couple questions. Super easy. I think it's 5 questions. You're going to answer those on the paper. When you get it, just grab a pen and start doing it. You're going to do that little assessment. Just read it. It's very simple. You rate yourself. You read the question and you give yourself a number on the left-hand side. And then you add up the numbers and it's going to tell you where you are in the area of honor. I put together this little assessment, and then this morning I thought, well, maybe I should do it myself. And I just kind of didn't do as well as I thought. So this is God-inspired, okay? It's not because I have it all together. I did it, and I was talking to myself and saying, okay, I'm in the yellow zone, and not completely green and not red, but caution. So I double dare you to fill that out if you want to know the truth about where you are as far as honoring people. If you are married, you can apply this to your husband. If you are not married, apply it to friends. If you have a significant other, if you have a boyfriend, apply it to that. You can apply it to your kids, best friends. How do you honor the people that are closest to you in life? Okay, so just do that assessment quickly. I'm just going to give you 2 minutes to do that. And then we're going to move on. Did everybody get one? Up here, and do it quickly, and let's see what you come up with. Don't analyze it, okay? Just read it, and we ran out. Oops. Okay. We have some more over here. Just get some more over here. Okay. There's no, when it comes to the truth, it's not right and it's not wrong. It's reality. It's where you're at. Okay? So just rate yourself. Are you done? Okay, hurry up. Come on. Rate yourself, add it up, and let's just see where you are with honor. Let me read it. Can somebody give me a copy? I took it out of my notes. All right. Let me read you the questions. The first one is, it is easy for me to take the back seat and be okay with it. If it's yes all the time, you get a 10. If it's often, you get 8. If it's sometimes, you get 6. Seldom, 4. When he or she deserves it, you get 2. And no, never, you get 0. So just be honest. We're not going to ask you what you did. Second question. I publicly make him or her feel good. Third question. I say good things, not harsh things, to or about him or her on a regular basis. And you answer it the same way. If it's like sometimes, you do a 6. If it's like whenever he or she deserves it, you get a 2. Okay, second to last one. I regularly stop and think about how to make him or her feel important. Answer it truthfully. And the last one, I take responsibility for things that are not right in this relationship. All right, rate yourself, add it up. If your total is 35 to 50, you're on the right track of godly relationships. Okay, and then 20 to 34, these are just, you know, wide boundaries, but 20 to 34, you can do better in pleasing God and planting good seed for your own and kids' future. Just step it up if you are between 20 and 34. Step it up. And then 19 or less, here's the verdict. God is flat not important to you at all. Okay? So, And there's the Peter, 2 Peter 1 says how you can fix this. Have hope. Take courage. We are going to chat today. We're going to talk about it. It is seriously, guys, girls, it's not about you. It's not about you and your hearts and your pain. It's really about the power of God. And we have to know that God is alive and He's here to meet you wherever you are at. Okay? So, with that in mind, how many of you score really badly? Are you going to be honest? How many of you score worse than what you thought? Okay, how many of you are honest with yourself? Okay, how about this? How about this? If you take this assessment and go give it to your husband, if you really want the truth, because you may be deceived, girl, you may be living in a world of your own, so take it to your husband and let the man fill it out for you. Or take it to the significant person in your life, your best friend or whatever, let them fill it out, and then you may have to run back next week, Thursday, let's pray for you. Because, you know, things are not always the way it seems. But anyway, we are so happy you're here. We've got an incredible panel for you this morning. We've got the chairs all lined up, so I'm going to ask the panel to come up, each one of you, and take a seat. Okay, just let's say hi to them as they come up. Yay! Okay, I wish we could take this away. I think we can. I think I can. Can you lift that up? Okay. All right. Just have a seat. And Pastor Michelle, there is another seat over there for you. All right. So we have got wisdom on this platform today, and we're going to have fun. They have all prepared, a specific area in which to address. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to start out with everybody introducing themselves briefly, and everyone is going to give us a 5-minute, and ladies, we'll watch the clock in the back, right? Going to do a 5-minute exhortation and telling you something in some area of sex, celibacy, and sanity that God has spoken to them about to share. Doesn't that say everything? Sex? Yeah. Celibacy and sanity. The sanity part, you know. What does that have to do with sex? Well, we're going to see. We even have the doctor in the house this morning. Going to talk to us about the chemicals, the hormones, you know. That what in the world is going on? Since I've had my baby, I am just not feeling it. So what is going on with the body? So we're going to start over there at the far end with our beautiful and gorgeous Pastor Jessica, who is much loved and part of the house and the team of pastors and married to an incredible husband. And she has several children.
Oh, come on.
She's got a quiver that is, she's still deciding if the quiver is full or not. The quiver, is the quiver full? We're not going to put you on the spot.
Stop it.
Okay. So this is what she's going to do from a pastoral and personal experience. What she has found in her dealing with women and spiritual guidance with women and mentoring women, what has she found has been some issues that most women deal with? And also, what are the greatest shockers and joys in marriage? Okay, for singles, the greatest shockers and joys of being a parent and partner for your husband, whether you're single, whether you are married, you know, you need to listen up. Because if you're married, you need it. If you're single, you're going to need it. So there are some shockers, some things that you didn't anticipate when you first got married. So share with us.
Well, gosh, she gave me like this broad, you know, spectrum. So last night I sent the kids away and Dan away to church, and I stayed home to hear from God on sex. And so I'm sure he was coming home thinking, yay, she's going to be good. First of all, is my mother-in-law in here? No, okay. Or my mom is not here, thank God. So, well, I'm kind of the girl that is always embarrassed to talk about sex. Honestly, I'm probably red right now. So I am not the one that's really comfortable with it. It's always been something told to me to be modest, you know, and don't just flaunt everything out there. And I remember when I finally got the guts enough to buy myself a bikini, and I wasn't living in my parents' house for the first time, and I finally got to wear a bikini if I wanted to. So I went and spent like $90 on a bikini, right? Stupid teenager, right? So I went and bought this bikini, and then I met Dan, not kidding, like a week later. So we go to the beach, and I'm wearing the bikini, and you know what he said to me? He came home, and he said, can you please, if we're going to date, can you please not ever wear that again? Like, you should not be wearing things like that around me. And I was like, what the heck? I just bought the bikini. So, and I didn't understand sexuality. I didn't understand that men, they are visual, and I wasn't, and I didn't understand that. My dad would tell me, but I just didn't get it, you know? So I learned really fast, but so now I don't wear bikinis. No. But, you know, they told me to talk about how to keep it alive, how to stay connected intimately with your husband in a very busy environment. And we do have 3 kids. Now, they're not teenagers where they can dress themselves or feed themselves or do anything for themselves. In fact, every second of every day, it's, Mommy, can you do something for me? In fact, I'm wondering what they're begging the nursery workers to do for them right now. So it never stops. It's never ending. I'm lucky if I get to take in a deep breath in the middle of a day. And my house, I'm a clean freak, so my house always has to have its things have to be in their place. And then I'm very passionate about ministry, so I'm always trying to be available. But just as you can tell, I'm not available right now because of children. So it just never, never, ever stops. And so it is very easy for women to get ourselves in a rut of, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have this, I. And as much as we think we're serving our family, we're really thinking about us. And when you go through your day, it's funny because I wrote this down. Have any of you ever had to schedule in sex? Seriously, raise your hand if you have, because I want to know I'm not the only one. I'll be like, all right, tonight when the kids go to bed, probably around like 11 o'clock, you know, like, seriously, I have to schedule it, and he hates that. But, and all of you maybe don't have to do that anymore. I'm hoping maybe one day I'll get there again. So, but with children, and make sure the doors are locked, and be cautious of what, you know, I'm always like, I hear something. I think they're awake, you know, and he's just like, oh my God. I mean, this is how it works, right? So, do you schedule? Yeah, totally. Okay. And so maybe you schedule like in between diaper changing, nap time, you know, making dinner, doing laundry. It never ends, right? And then the husband's like, hey, baby. You know, you're like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't even think that direction right now. I'm thinking I've got 3 piles of laundry staring at me at the end of my bed. I have dishes dirty downstairs. The kids are finally out of my hair. I've spanked about 1,000 times today, and you want me to spank you? I'm kidding. Pastor Dan's not freaky like that. So anyways, I'm kidding. Ooh, look at how I'm embarrassed. Okay. That was the Holy Spirit talking or something.
Good, because we have it on tape.
So anyways, it never seems to be convenient because after all those things are done, said and done, they want you to slip into something cute that shows your cellulite, and you're really regretting eating that hamburger right before dinner, right? So it's just never the right time. Girls, it is never the right time when you're busy. So you just have to get over yourself. You just have to get over yourself. You just have to die to it and be like, I am going to fake it in the beginning, and then when my crock pot finally gets hot, it'll be wonderful. Because we are like slow cookers. It takes us a while to get warmed up to it. Men, they're like on and off, you know, like a light switch. And I don't understand that. It's just not fair, God. Why? But I'm a crock pot. It takes me a little while to kind of get my mind off things. I will find myself talking about the day's events while he's trying to kiss me, and I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, seriously? I'm like, oh, Titus did the cutest thing. You know, he's like, I don't want to think about Titus right now. You know, so girls, we cannot be busy. We cannot, like, we have to get ourselves to kind of stop. And so for me, I just tell myself, just shut up. Just be here in this moment. And I just always tell myself that. Be in this moment. He needs you now. The kids are taken care of. The house, that will never end. Just run away tomorrow. Go to the store or something. And today, be here. Be here with your husband and enjoy him because he needs you. And let me tell you something. If you don't take care of your man, someone else is going to slip in and take care of him. And now let's not be stupid about this. And so, heck no, girls, he's mine. Don't even go there. So just make sure that you keep yourself in a position where you're taking care of your husband, because you know what? In the long run, it actually blesses you. It's an amazing thing. Like she said, it's a joyful thing. Sex is a good thing. And some of you may be sitting in here because you've had a really bad experience with sex. Maybe you were raped. Maybe you were date raped. Maybe you've been molested. Maybe those horrible things have happened to you. And so sex isn't fun. Well, guess what? I was there. When I first got married to Dan, I was a mess. I had been date raped. That's how my sexuality was taken from me. And so sex was never a good thing for me. It was never something that I enjoyed. I didn't understand why people enjoyed it. I just thought it was something you needed to do. And I had to, over 10 years, learn that it's special and that it's intimate and that it's a wonderful thing made and created by God and that it's anointed and that it's blessed. And I had to pray a lot and I had to work through some of those feelings. And you know what's amazing is if you have a husband that loves God, he'll help you walk through those things too. And so talk to them about it. Maybe you're not talking enough about how you're feeling about it. And so I just started to open up and just started to share these things with him. And now, after 10 years, in July it was 10 years, we have the best sex life ever. I love him more than I've ever loved him before. And just it gets better and better every year. And let me just say this, but it took some time. It took some work. When I got married, girls, if you're on your way to engagement, if you're engaged or whatever, it is not like the movies the first time. It's not. That's a lie. It's not like that. It's uncomfortable. You're nervous. You don't know what the heck is going on. Am I doing this right? Nobody tells you that when you first get married. Everybody just thinks that it's like a movie. It's not like the movies. But then keep going. Keep enjoying yourself. It gets better. You guys become one together. I think that's why God says they become one. It's not just like automatically done. It's you become and learn how to be together and be one. And it is amazing. And what God has created, no one can separate. And so just take some time in your busy schedule. If you have to, think about it during the day. I know this is stupid, but if he's gone and you're not together, just be like, okay, when he comes home, I'm going to kiss him. You know, get yourself going. Like, because we're crockpots, so it takes us a while. You know, so like, get yourself going when he first comes home. You know, I'm going to kiss him. I'm going to hug on him. I'm going to love on him. And, you know, watch a chick flick with him or something. You know, do whatever you need to do. Because he's so funny. He's like, do you want to watch a chick flick? Because he knows that I'm like, oh, I just so love. They're so in love. You know, like, I mean, girls, we're cheesy, okay? Men, like, don't need that stuff. But my heart softens, you know, and I have to get all those drama situations out of my world from that day. And so put things aside. Be in the moment. Be there for him. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:5, in the Message, okay? I don't know if they have it because I gave it to him late, but certainly, but only within a certain context. It is good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. I'm sorry, I cannot talk. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife, but the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. See, this is a two-way street here. This isn't just for you with him, but him for you. Enjoy him. Enjoy the moment. Stop letting the things of your thoughts. Women, we think too much. We don't just get, you notice men can go to sleep and they're done. Like it takes me like 20 minutes to fall asleep because I'm thinking about everything that's going on in my world. So turn your brain off. If you have to, I tell my mom this all the time because she's so hyper. Put a white screen. There's nothing there. You're not thinking about it. When a thought tries to float in, just keep it white. You know, do whatever you need to do because calm yourself down and be in the moment. Be with him because he needs you as much as you need him. A marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Listen, girls, if you feel like you have to defend yourself in a marriage and in the marriage bed, you probably need some counseling because you and your husband need to be serving God together. And when you are serving God and when you love God together, there is something there's a unity that can't be broken. There's a love that is there. And a three-chord string cannot be broken. It's him, you, and God. And that is tied together, and that is united, and that is anointed. And so if there is strife, and if you feel like you have to stand up for your rights, something's not right, because that's not the way God intended for it to be. So that should be a red flag for you. Marriage is a decision to serve one another, whether in bed or out. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time, probably like your period, if you had a baby or something like that, if you both agree to it. And if it's for the purpose of prayer and fasting, but only for such times, then come back together. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. I am not understood commanding these periods of absence, only providing my best counsel if you should choose them. So listen, the Bible's just saying, don't forsake your husband. Don't stay away. Don't purposely, oh, I got a headache tonight, honey. Oh, I've just been so tired today. Die to yourself. Get over it. Because you need him as much as he needs you. And listen, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be in a family. It's a blessing to have those children. It's a blessing. People would die to have a husband that wanted to be with them. Some people don't have that. Some women don't have that. So start thinking about why you're blessed. Start putting aside the busyness of the day. And I don't know, you said the shocker of the best shocker in marriage. Gosh, I have had so many shockers.
You have?
Yeah, because he's such a good man.
Well, maybe that's good to know, you know?
You said give him the test, and I told Michelle, I go, seriously, if I gave him the test, my score would be higher because he just thinks of me that way. You know, I think I'm harder on myself than he's probably harder on me. So, girls, the shocker of it is that my dad's advice was real, I guess. My dad said fall in love with the man in the God, and everything else will fall into place. And that's what happened with Dan. I fell in love with the God in Dan, and then I fell in love with Dan afterwards. So that was the biggest shocker. I was like, that worked, because I had really messed up relationships before. And so just fall in love with the God and your husband. If there's God in him, you find that, and you fall in love with that, okay?
Awesome, awesome. Awesome, thank you, thank you. Pastor Michelle Villanueva is with her husband, pastoring the youth of this church. So sexuality in youth is a big issue. How many of you have youth in the home that are on that at that stage, or grandchildren, children or grandchildren, that you can influence? We do not want to forget you. So Pastor Michelle is going to share with us the greatest challenges that she has found working with youth, growing into their sexuality and their identity as far as sexuality.
Yes, this is a big one. So I'm going to talk about the teenagers and young adults. So maybe you're a young adult in this place, or you are raising a young adult. They're still in your home, or obviously you still love them and are, you know, you're still their mom. So Pastor Eleanor asked me, you know, what are some real sexual related issues that teens and young adults are faced with in schools and colleges today? Well, I would say the biggest one is tolerance. And by tolerance, what I mean is that anything is okay and everything is okay if you want it to be okay. And it doesn't just go with religion, but it also goes with their sexuality. So whether that's premarital, whether that's homosexuality, whether that's I'm going to have multiple partners, I'm going to have friends with benefits, which means I don't even have to be in love with that person or dating that person. They're just my friend and we're going to use each other, basically. And so that's one of the biggest things. And it's a real thing. It's a real thing that kids deal with. I think, you know, one thing a lot of, you know, people don't realize is that now sex, because of the way sitcoms on Nickelodeon and Teen Nick and Channel 5 and all these great and wonderful shows, you know, I remember when Full House used to teach me that, you know, I need to find a good guy, you know, and now it's like, you know, well, I want to have sex with this guy and my mom won't let me. Okay, I mean, this is what, you know, this is what they're dealing with. I want to be gay and everybody hates me and that kind of thing. And so this is what they're seeing, not only on the sitcoms, which is an hour long thing that they're listening to, but it's also on the commercials. I mean, it's everywhere, you guys. And so you have the job to parent your kids, because they can come to church, you know, a few hours a week, and they can get the word of God inside of them, and they can also be parented by TV, but they can be parented by you. And you're one of the biggest influences in their life, of who you allow in their life, what you allow them to watch, what you allow them to listen to. You know, there's a new song, I don't even know who sings it, but you know, the guy's like, I'm gonna hit this club, like like it's my last night. I'm going to hit this girl like it's my last night. I mean, this is what they're singing to, dancing to, and stuff. And so I think we need to realize what they are being taught. And that's one of the biggest things, you know, homosexuality. I just want to read you a verse in case you're not familiar of what God's view is on it. I think it would be good and healthy for us to do that. But in Romans 1, yeah, please. Romans 1, 25, and if we can get it on the overhead, that'd be really cool. I'm going to go through it real quick. But it says this. It says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to their vile passions. For even the woman exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of this error which was due. So God obviously is not okay with it. And for us to say, well, that's an old school view, which they're being told by their friends, you know, well, the Bible, you know, that was written a long time ago. There wasn't really homosexuality. Well, that's ridiculous. There was homosexuality. I mean, the Church of Corinth. I mean, it's not like this is a new thing. And even in Leviticus, there's verses, but there's also many verses in the New Testament and stuff. Another thing that kids are dealing with is that marriage is negative because they've seen their mom or dad divorce many times. They've seen their parents not marry, just live with each other. They've seen, you know, it becomes a very negative thing. They feel like divorce is inevitable. They will be divorced at least once. And that's how they feel. That's not God's view. And so our job is to teach a godly marriage, not just keep your pants on, but hey, God has a husband for you. God has a wife for you, and it's going to be a good thing. Sex is a good thing in marriage. It's a great thing in marriage, and we need to teach that. Lately, I've been hearing a lot about date rape and stuff like that. And so not only do we need to teach our girls to protect themselves and to watch what situation they put themselves in, how much they lead a guy on and stuff, but we also need to teach our boys that, no, when a girl says no, you don't touch her. And when she says stop, you stop. And I think that's a really important thing because we can tell our girls, watch out, be careful. I just told a girl, you know, she's going to school in another country. I said, you buy yourself some mace, girl. You buy yourself some mace right now. I want you to go to the store and buy yourself some mace because she's all alone and stuff. But, you know, we also need to teach our boys that hands off when she says no. So that's another thing. One way that you can relate to teenagers and to young adults and your kids is you need to have open communication. I think that is the biggest thing, because if they feel like they can't come talk to you, then they won't. They won't come talk to you. They'll talk to their friends. They'll Google it. And then they'll look at the images on Google Images. Okay. And they're going to ask their friends their advice. And if you think that the school teachers are safe enough to give your kids sex advice, then I really think you need to look at that, because that's not true. They're going to hand them a condom and say, go for it. Whatever you want to do, there's nothing wrong. You do what you want to do, because they don't have the right to tell their own opinions anymore. So you need to be the parent and say, you know what, honey, I know you're thinking about dating somebody, you know, and I want you to know that I'm here to talk with you. And in fact, when they do start to date somebody, you do make it a point to talk to them. And in the right environment, you need to realize that you can't come to your kid and say, you know what, I know you watched Degrassi, so I'm going to make sure that you do not have sex before marriage. My kid will be a virgin, okay? And you could come at them like that, or you could take them out to coffee and say, I can see you really like so-and-so. Well, you need to make sure you set up some boundaries. You need to make sure that you know, as your mother, I don't want you guys to be alone in the house. I don't want you guys to be alone in the car. In the car. Okay, I mean, all these things that I hear about, and we need to be a little bit smarter. Also with technology, I want to show you guys something. I brought this. Actually, I've been dying to show it to you. But this right here says AT&T on it. This is a teenager's texting bill. This thick. I want you, yes, this is true. This is a saved, born-again teenager who's very active in my youth ministry, who loves Jesus so much, and she's not texting bad things. This is just what she does, and this is how teenagers communicate. So you do need to look at your teenager's texts. You do need to get the passwords to their Facebook and to their MySpace and to every other social network that's out there. You do need to block your cable. You do need to block sites on the internet. I mean, there's so much stuff that you have the ability to do. And if you think, well, my kid, they're not really on their phone. This is a teenager's texting bill. So sometimes we can be just, you know, just a little bit out of it. But And then lastly, I know I only have 5 minutes, so I just want to say this about kids who are dealing with being gay. If you know a teenager or a young adult or you in this room are dealing with it, I want to say this to you, that just because somebody has come out to you and said that they want to be gay, this isn't something they just decided to do, probably. If they've talked to you about it, they've been struggling with it for years. And they don't, if they're Christian, they definitely hate that part of themselves. And what they've realized after years of dealing with this, they're finally going to come out and tell you about it. They're finally saying that I cannot change, because maybe they've hidden it so much. So sometimes we can get this view of people who are gay, like they're dirty, they're nasty, they're perverts, they want to be like this, they have to be like this. And when I talk to teenagers and young adults who love Jesus and I talk to them face to face, I don't get that. I get a broken person who says, I wish I could see myself with my opposite gender. I wish that was attractive to me. Pastor Michelle, I hate this part of me. Why couldn't I deal with a different sin? And really, they deal with a lot of depression. And so when you have that open communication with your teenager or young adult, what that does is that brings the ability for you to speak into their life, to affirm their gender, to affirm their sexuality, and to say, you know what, God made you a girl and God loves you and God wants you to find a husband. But it has to have that open communication. It can't be out of hate. And we need to realize when we're raising our kids, we can't teach them to hate people who have a different sexuality, because then you're going to get them on the news beating up some gay person, and that's wrong. That is very wrong. God's called us to love one another, but I don't have to accept the way that they live, and I don't have to agree with the way that they live. They're still a human being. They're still a human being that God has created, and I'm going to love them and pray for them, but I don't have to accept that. But I'm not going to beat them up and bully them around, which I've also heard a lot about too. So I just want to throw that out there. There's my 5 minutes. Lisa, take it away.
This is Dr. Lisa Gilfillan. She recently graduated and got her doctor's degree. Congratulations. We are so, 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 so proud of you. Anyway, you've been married how long? 25 years, and that's a while. So she's going to talk about, as far as, you know, the intimacy and longevity. As far as longevity, what does it look like at 15 and 20 years, and how responsible are you for the overall happiness of your husband in the long run?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, Baron and I have been married for 25 years. I'm full-blooded Italian, so just the fact that we're both alive shows the grace and mercy of God. Now, you can either have homicide or you can have happiness. And so, I am going to talk about 3 points, because I just have 5 minutes, but 3 points that Baron and I really live by in our marriage. Baron and I are very analytical. We always have to have a program for everything we do. We do schedule sex, but it's the best appointment of my day. I mean, I don't, you know, when it's not like, you know, exercising. Although usually about after 5 minutes of exercise, I'm happy because the endorphins are starting to kick in. But at the beginning, oh, I don't know, there's no way, and now I'm getting old, all that type of thing. Well, people can be that way about sex, too. You know, it only takes a couple of minutes, and that headache starts flying out the door. I don't want you to be looking at it as, oh, it's a chore I must perform. It's a pleasure you get to have because it's legal. If you're married, it's legal, baby. There isn't a lot that's legal in our world. I can't eat all the chocolate I want, but I can have all the sex I want with my husband. My husband was very scared because he's going to be preaching at the Rock next weekend, and he was wondering what I was going to say. And I told him, don't worry, honey, it's going to all be good. So I have 3 points. Number one, remember what attracted you to each other in the first place. All right, years go by. I do not look the same as I did when he first met me. In some ways, I look better. In other ways, we need some grace. Okay, but you know how sometimes you wake up in the morning, you look like death warmed over? Do something. Nobody wants to kiss the Grim Reaper. Get yourself out of bed, brush your hair, brush your teeth, put on a little perfume. Don't make him turn over and go, ah, and start beating you with a bat. That's so bad. That is so bad. Do something. But one of the things is you have to remember what attracted the two of you in the first place. I even heard Susan Lucci, the soap opera actress, say this. You know, she's been married 10 times as Erica Kane, but only one time in real life. She was married for 41 years. And this was her big point of advice, too. And I said, Lucci, you stole it from me. The B, you know, she's always stealing everything from everybody. No, she's awesome. Look, she's lived a very successful life with her marriage. And I'm proud of her, actually. And she said, always cultivate that. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You need to give thanks that you have someone. Yeah. Now, again, I'm not trying, for those of you who are single, I'm not trying to make you feel inferior. We have to give thanks for everything that we have. If you still have living parents, give thanks for that, especially if you get along with them. If you have children, give thanks for that, especially if you get along with them. If you have a spouse, give thanks for that, especially as you're working to get along with him. It's important that sometimes I just stop and think of the sacrifices that Baron has made for me over the years, and I give thanks. I was very poor. I'm from a very poor background. Baron is from a very rich background. Do you know my husband has never made me feel bad about that? I had never had caviar. I had never been skiing in the Alps. The parts of the world that I'd been to was just as a missionary, and I'd been living in YWCAs and, you know, with rats and all, you know, and some roommates too. I mean, you know, I wasn't from a really rich background. And he has never been intimidating to me. He's always taught me how not to be a respecter of persons, both with me and with other people. And I love that. That's one of the attributes about him that I just love. In Ann Arbor, he had a small group that was the size of a big church. Okay? People were attracted to him. He had homeless people in his small group, and he had very wealthy people. People who had become doctors and CEOs and lawyers and very, very successful business people. He had everybody in his small group, from the homeless to that. And I remember looking at that when we were young and saying, I love a man who doesn't respect what people do, who loves people because of God. And so there's something that attracted you to your husband, even if it was just his really great legs. Okay? And maybe they're not quite as great, but maybe yours aren't either. I remember my Bible school director saying that when the Lord told him he was going to marry, he actually married a very beautiful woman, but at one point he thought he was going to marry someone else. And he said to the Lord while he was shaving, I don't know, I'm not that attracted to her. She's not that great. And the Lord said to him, you ain't no rose yourself. And he realized, gulp, I'm not that, you know. He actually, the Lord had great mercy on him and gave him a woman who was beautiful. Number two, seek to speak words of life. I remember when I was a single campus pastor, I used to get the 700 club calls, and I would have to go out to the boondocks and do marriage counseling in trailer parks because I was the only one who would do it. Now I think that was insanity. I'm just thankful the Lord had his angels. He kept me alive. He absolutely was preparing me for the mission field. So that was good. But I remember going into these places where people, to me, it was like a living hell. It was so good that I went there because I had wanted to be married so badly. But after I saw these people, I wasn't sure I did. They would be cussing each other out, saying just the worst things, speaking death, death, death over one another. And I remember trying to do something to help. You know, I could only have minimal effect, obviously. But praying for them very sincerely and thinking about them. Even years afterwards, I've thought about these people because they were speaking words of death and not words of life over their spouses. I especially like the way the Message says, Proverbs 18:21, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And there have been times, because as I said, I'm Italian, when I have said things to my husband, and he has said to me, do you want that to come to pass? He's come right out and said, do you want that to come to pass? And I'll be like, because, I mean, I grew up in the word faith, not him. He was one of those funny Anglicans. You know, I mean, I know that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. And so when he says it, I'm immediately cut to the quick. I've got to repent. Again, I know most of you are perfect, but some of us aren't. And some of us are on a journey. And I've been with the Lord 33 years, and I'm a lot better now than I was 33 years ago. But I don't look like Jesus except first thing in the morning with my beard. Again, I have to get up, got to take care of some hygiene issues before I can kiss Baron in the morning. I don't want him to scream. You know, yeah, I do. I look more like the Lord first thing in the morning. And number three, try something new. All right? Studies actually show that if we do something new with somebody of the opposite sex, we get attracted to them. That's why it's a little bit crazy sometimes if you have relationships with members of the opposite sex and you're not married to them. Okay? If you do something new and exciting with someone and it's not your husband, he's going to look so much better. And listen, guys look a lot better when they're out in public. You don't see their underwear. They're not scratching themselves as much. Usually their breath is a little bit fruity. You know it. You know how you look in the first thing in the morning. All right. If you're starting to get attracted to a guy who's not your husband, think about what he looks like first thing in the morning. It's probably not pretty. Put a negative picture into your mind if you're getting attracted to someone who's not your man. Imagine him, cutting his toenails by biting them off. Just imagine spitting them across the room. I've seen people who are not my husband do this. Not by choice, okay? It's just I'm in a lot of refugee camps and things like that, and I'm like, unbelievable. That is just unbelievable. But I've seen it, okay? Those kind of pictures help me. And picture your husband in the best possible light. Yeah, the celibacy tip suit. Yes. I'm sure Christine will use this in the future in some way. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That doesn't just count for when you get born again. All right? When I got saved, I put that up on my wall. Because I was in a dorm room in Sodom and Gomorrah, or maybe the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, somewhere close like that. And it was a wild and crazy place. And I had to keep remembering I was different now. I'd only been saved a few months when I went to that place. But I'm different. I'm a new creation. You know what? The Lord's brought up that verse to me all through my time with him. Because I'll say things like, "It's always," and he'll say, "Oh no, it doesn't always have to be like this. But it's always been." That doesn't matter. In me, all things are made new. Every day, God's mercies are new. Every day, God's abilities are new for you. Every day, God's help is new for you, for me. All right? It doesn't always have to be the way it's been. And I just want to close with, if you're married to someone who's unsaved, I've heard people say such bad things about their pagan husbands. We probably shouldn't even call them pagans. Let's just say they're yet-to-be-saved spouses. Let's do that. Let's be more positive. They're yet-to-be-saved spouses. And he's not going to get any closer if you bad-talk him. All right? You have to treat him as you would treat the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, I'm always very careful. If there's abuse, that is something you don't have to put up with. Okay? Get help immediately. We don't want you to die. Okay? And I'm not talking about abuse when he says, clean up the kitchen. That's not necessarily abuse. Okay? Just be, smacking you across the kitchen with a pot. That's abuse. All right. Sometimes women have come to me and say, "He's abusing me." And I hear what they say. I'm like, "Honey, that's really not abuse." Okay? Anyway, just don't be a wimp. We're not victims. Okay? If there's addiction, he needs help. Okay? I know you don't. If he's addicted to heroin and you don't want to stay with him, that's understandable. If you have kids, that's understandable. You need to all live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. If there's adultery and you don't want to get venereal diseases or even diseases that could kill you, it's acceptable to get help, to break away, to separate. We understand this. We're not crazy. We're not trying to keep you in bondage. But if your unsaved husband, as it says in the Bible, wants to live with you and is willing to live at peace with you, live at peace with him. Start treating him special. Now, this is a very extreme situation, but Smith Wigglesworth's wife, when he got saved, he was horrible. And, you know, he ended up raising so many people from the dead, having such a healing anointing, getting many people saved. But when he was a sinner, he was a sinner. And he was wicked. She took more than I would suggest that you take. He used to beat her, and she'd just take it. He used to make her sleep outside when she would come back from church when it was freezing cold. He would open the door in the morning. She'd say, "Hello, dear. How was your night? Come in and make him breakfast." That woman was not Italian, I can tell you that. But she was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and she won her husband. The way to win your husband is to treat him as though he were a saved man, to treat him with honor, respect, love, to compliment him, to talk about all the good things that he's done. And you will see that people start living up to the standard that you've set for them. People start becoming more and more saved. One other thing, your marriage is a testimony to Christ's goodness in the earth. That's why we have to be very careful with it. We have a gas station attendant right around the corner from our house, and it shocked me to my core. I was going getting my normal diet Pepsi fix, and he said to me, "Your husband really loves you." And I looked, because my husband and I have talked with him at length. He said, "I just hope I can have a relationship like that with a woman sometime." And I realized, whoa, our actions. I'm trying to be nice to this guy, and I love him and everything. But when I'm getting my Diet Pepsi, sometimes I just want to get my Diet Pepsi, go out. I want my caffeine fix, and bye. Give me my change, let me go. But he's been watching all this time. Other people are watching your marriages too.
Thank you, Dr. Lisa. That was amazing. Okay, we're going to be moving on. We have Vanessa Reynolds, MD, another doctor in the house here, medical doctor. She's practiced for a long time. She's amazing. She loves God and has a lot of wisdom. And we've asked her to talk to us a little bit about PMS. How many of you suffer PMS? You just want to snap out of it, right? And then menopause. And then how about just right after you've had a baby, where the body needs to do whatever it needs to do, and, you know, depression, and when is a doctor's visit in order, or medication, how does God feel about that? So all of that, you have 5 minutes or so, work your magic. Dr. Vanessa, thank you.
No, it's not going to take that long, actually. Okay, Pastor Jess, yes, you do still have to schedule sex after 28 years of marriage, yes, or it won't happen, totally, especially if you're really busy. And I wanted to say something about what Pastor Michelle was saying about homosexuality. Yes, love them. Yes, teach them not to stereotype people and, you know, alienate them from the church. But also teach them that just like when I came to the Lord, I had an awful temper and I couldn't love people. And this is something that nothing is too big for God. And teach them how they don't have to be this way. And God is fully in control. And if they hate themselves, if they're depressed, God can handle it. And that they can change. Okay, that this is not something that they were, quote-unquote, born with. But this is a character trait they picked up from our society that can be changed. Okay, so I want to say my little pet peeve. Okay, and now going on to what Pastor Lisa said about the beard in the morning. And that's from hormones, okay? So all these things, PMS and menopause, they deal with hormones. And what a hormone is it's just like a chemical substance, just something that's actually tangible. They can get them from your body, and it comes out of different glands in your body. So glands are like, you know, your thyroid is a gland. You heard of that? That you have glands in your brain, your pituitary and your hypothalamus. Anyway, these glands secrete these chemicals, and they cause different things to happen. So you're wondering why your little girl, you know, she has no breasts. She's straight down. You know, her measurements are like 20, 20, 20, straight down like a little rectangle, right? And then all of a sudden she gets to be maybe 11, maybe 13, and she's starting to get breast buds, and her period starts, and she starts getting more hips. And now she becomes like a 30, 18, 20, 30 or something, right? That's because of hormones, okay? So one hormone is secreted, and all of a sudden it says, you know, this girl is of age. She's going to enter what's called puberty, all right? And that's usually between, now it's younger. They say it's because of the chicken. I don't know, you know, because, you know, they inject chickens to get bigger breast meat. They inject them with hormones. We eat the chicken, and so the theory is that possibly our girls are getting an excess amount of estrogen, and they're having puberty early. They're getting bigger breasts earlier and getting bigger signs of womanhood earlier because of this. I don't know. I saw some studies that say yay and some studies that say nay, but watch the chicken. And because some of these little girls, I mean, we never had like size D boobs when we were 10, 11, 12. They were just little buds until we had kids and then they grew or whatever, you know. And now some of these little girls are really, really, really developed. And anyway, so there's, and that is a hormone called estrogen. It's secreted out of your hypothalamus, really. And then you start getting underarm hair and pubic hair, and you get taller, your breasts get bigger, and then it alters your fat distribution. So if you got big hips and big thighs, blame it on the estrogen, okay? Can't really help that. If your mama had them, you're probably going to have them. And, you know, those genes skip generations, so it could be Annie Sue or somebody down the line. But you can exercise till you're blue, and if you're just prone to that, that's how you're going to be, okay? And I say that mainly to the black women because you know that with black people, that stuff is hereditary. I see some of these black girls and they're just proportioned that way, you know, trying to get smaller in the hips or whatever is not going to happen. Just get to your good basal metabolic rate and, you know, stay there with a good BMI and you're good. Okay. So what happens at puberty is all of a sudden, you know, you've developed all these external characteristics, the breast and the fatty deposits and the underarm hair, and you're growing, you're taller. And then you have all these eggs in your ovaries, okay? And each month an egg drops down, and if that egg is not fertilized, which means a sperm from a male touches that egg and that becomes a baby, okay? If there's no sperm, if you have not had intercourse, the hormones make your uterus, which is where the baby grows, they make that have a lining of blood and tissue and all this kind of stuff so that the egg can implant and become a baby. If it's not fertilized and there's no sperm, there hasn't been intercourse, then every month you have a period, menstruation. You know what that is, right? So for anywhere from 2 to 6 days, usually every 28 to 35 days of the year, you have the release of this egg and you have a period, right? Now, if there is intercourse, and you know, if their period started at 11 and they become sexually active, there's lots of schools, and you go there to these schools where kids have had babies, literally kids, 10 years old, getting pregnant. So as long as you're having a period, if you're sexually active, you can get pregnant, okay? Anyway, so when sperm is released, you know, there's been intercourse, sperm is released into the vagina, which is where you put your tampons, where the blood comes out of, right, which is different from your urethra, where you pee out of. I know some people think it's the same thing, but I've had people say, oh, I hate wearing tampons because every time I have to go pee-pee, I have to take it out. And I'm like, you don't. Two different spots, okay? And you should just look in an anatomy book, you know, in 5 minutes. I don't want to give a whole slideshow, but just look in an anatomy book to see what you look like down there, okay? So anyway, so if there is a baby, then the minute the baby is there, you heard of the placenta or the afterbirth? That placenta starts secreting another hormone, and that's the hormone that you can take a urine test to see if you're pregnant, you know, the HCG. And you can go and, like, the day after you miss your period, you know, you get the little strip and you pee on it or whatever, and it turns positive because that hormone is being secreted by a placenta because you are pregnant. So all that's hormones. So anyway, then after you have the placenta is basically producing all the estrogen and this HCG and all this throughout the whole pregnancy. And then when you have the baby, all of a sudden, the placenta, the afterbirth is delivered. And so you don't, so now all of a sudden your body has to switch back to your hypothalamus secreting all of this, and you get a big, big drop in your estrogen, okay? So the big drops of estrogen, and there's a whole long list. So you get a big drop, one, around the time of your period, if the egg wasn't fertilized, and two, after the baby. So the big drops of estrogen, where is it? Causes. Okay. causes fatigue, maybe after the baby or after your period. And during menopause, a big drop in estrogen. Same symptoms. Hot flashes, okay? Night sweats. Memory lapses. Difficulty concentrating. Joint pain. I know in menopause they say you should buy stock in like Advil or ibuprofen because everything starts to hurt. Seriously, you know, laying in the bed is no longer just laying in the bed. You're like, oh, my back hurts, my hip hurts, my arm hurts, everything hurts. Can I get a witness, ladies? Motrin every day. It really helps, okay? It's fun stuff to look forward to, not really. And then vaginal dryness. So after the baby, during menopause, all of a sudden sex isn't as fun as it used to be unless you use a lubricant, okay? Some people have a problem with that. So you can just buy over-the-counter whatever KY jelly. They got hot KY jelly now to stimulate if you're not there. Right over-the-counter, right there in Walgreens, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Who doesn't know what I'm talking about? The more friction that you have with the KY, it just stimulates the whole area and it supposedly makes it much more exciting. Also, you get the loss of libido. What's libido? Your sex drive. So after the baby, you may not have the urge. Then you have to do like Pastor Jess, kind of fake it, and then after a little bit, hopefully it'll kick in. It'll kick in. You can also literally get headaches and migraines. So if, you know, with that drop in estrogen, you know, when you say I have a headache, you may really have a headache. But if it's menopausal, take your Motrin and you're good to go. Also, speaking of menopause, now menopause, I didn't say, you know, so you go through all this, you have all your babies or whatever, and then maybe sometimes about 40, because it starts 5 years before actual menopause. So maybe 40 to 45, you start getting these symptoms of decreased estrogen, which are all the things I just said. And then about 50 to 55, when your periods totally stop, you used up all the eggs in your ovaries, then you don't have a period anymore for at least a year. Then you are said to have been through menopause, when your periods have stopped for one total year. Okay, and a lot of times for those 5 to 10 years, you just have these bizarre periods where you actually have to plan sex because it's on, it's not on. It's not on for 5 months. Oh, there it is. Now I got to wait another year, and it's on in 2 weeks. And what the heck? I had planned sex. Nope. So anyway, it goes crazy from 40 years old to 50 years old. Your periods just do whatever the heck they want to do. And intermittent vaginal dryness, headaches, loss of libido, and you got to stay in the Word of God because you know that He is fully able to handle you through this too. And it gets worse if you adopt children during this time. So, you know, also the high estrogen, okay, that's when you're pregnant or whatever, you know, you can have this unexplained weight gain. You know, you have this little 8-pound baby, but you gain 35, 40 pounds, 50 pounds during the pregnancy. That little 8-pound baby is going to be delivered in the 2-pound after birth, and then that 40 pounds is yours. So, you know, and that is from hormones causing you to just feel like you got to eat and this kind of stuff, right? So, anyway, so we have puberty. We have premenopause, we have menopause, and all of these symptoms concerning it. Also, you get during menstruation, the thing that causes the main symptoms of PMS, premenopausal symptoms, are progesterone. And that causes your breast to feel tender. You feel bloated. Some people even gain up to 5 to 10 pounds during that time of the month. You know, and then you have a week where you feel good, and then you start getting ready to have your period again, so you have a good week where you're not bloated. You know, the mood swings, you may be very tired, you may feel dizzy. During this time, a lot of girls get the yeast infection, too, okay? And that's because of an estrogen deficiency. But all these things are hormones. And and postmenopausal depression also. Now, in menopause, if the symptoms are severe, severe night sweats, severe incapacitating mood swings and forgetfulness, people have actually driven to the corner store and not been able to remember how to get home. You know, you may need hormonal replacement therapy. The other thing that estrogen does is protects you from, like, breast cancer and stuff. And so if you get hormone replacement therapy and you increase your, stops you from it. So if you increase the hormones back again, you have to be concerned about getting breast cancer. Okay? So you have to consider the pros and the cons. How incapacitating are the symptoms versus the risk of taking hormones? Okay? And then during your period, you know, there are, if it's severe symptoms where you're missing, you know, several days out of school or with pain and this kind of thing, you can go on a birth control pill, which is just hormones, to make your body feel like you are pregnant so you're not incapacitated. And this is only for severe. There's also a lot of herbal things that I don't have time to go into for this thing.
Told you this is some amazing wisdom on this panel here, and we are taking a bit of time, but isn't this amazing? Is this good? You're getting something? Awesome. All right, so we're going to move on. Christine's going to bring us back. Bring us back. This is Christine Niemeyer. She's employed here at The Rock. She's an executive secretary directing the whole admin support team. Is that correct? She's amazing. She can run a small country, actually. And she is not married and living a godly life, an example for so many women, and balanced as far as, you know, as far as us girls get balanced. She seems really on the good side of being balanced, and a professional woman, and a woman that really, really loves God. And being a single adult, there are many pitfalls. There are many things that are unique to being an adult and being single that the enemy brings your way in order to steal your future and destiny and all that. And so Christine's going to talk to us about her life lessons, being single, and what to watch out for and how to go to do things God's way.
Thank you. Well, the first thing, I hate to admit this, but I've been single longer than Lisa has been married. And it's really hard to listen to every married person talk about sex when you haven't had sex for decades. First of all, I just want to see, do we have single women in the room today? Oh, wow, a lot of you. Well, you're beautiful. Let me tell you, you are beautiful, you're lovely, and you're God's girls. So that's the first thing that I want to say to you. You can live godly, you can live holy, single, and you can, you know, just wait for God to direct your path. And whether you want to get married someday or you want to stay single, whatever, you know, the desire of your heart is, whether you're young, whether you're older, I mean, I'm perimenopausal or premenopausal or going through all that at the same time, being single and listening to these ladies talk about sex. So I do have some advice, some things that God has taught me over the years, some things that people have taught me that are godly, that have led me by example. And I just want to go through a few of these. Hopefully they'll help you if you're married. You probably have single friends. You might have single girls. I'm gonna go kind of deep on a couple of things. I got 5 minutes, so I don't have a lot. I'm just going to briefly run through. I've got some scriptures just to kind of throw at you quickly. And if you are single and you're interested, write them down. I've got a book I'm going to recommend to you. But the first thing that I want to do, and talking about sex, celibacy, and sanity and a single woman's perspective, I just want to tell you, make God your first love. But we all have heard this before, but girls, this is just imperative for you. You need to fall in love with Jesus Christ. You need to make him your man. You need to let him be the lover of your soul, and you need to devote yourself to him. And he will grant you the desires of your heart. Pastor Luke used the scripture today, last night in his message, and it has a vast amount of applications. But Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things would be added to you. God will grant you the desires of your heart. If you desire to be married, God will grant that. It's just going to be in his timing. And as you fall in love with God and you spend your time with him and he directs your path in your life, this is going to happen. You just need to let him do that. Just turn everything else over to God and let him handle that part. Just fall in love with God. That's my first piece of advice. Second thing is let God work on you. When I have been single as a non-believer, and I've been single as a believer. I've done things very wrong, and I've done things very right. And so whether you are, you've brought some things from your past into your relationships and into your walk with God or not, there are some things that you need to do, and that is that let God work on you. You may not be the woman yet that is ready for the man that God has for you. He may have somebody in the future for you, and there may be some things about you that are not going to work in that relationship or some things that you need to change. There may be some hurts and injuries and deep soul ties and things that you need to break free of that you're carrying with you right now that God will need to work on and clean out and heal and just make you ready. And for me, you know, 27 years, I'm like, okay, am I ever going to be ready? But I didn't always have the desire to find somebody. God has taken me through a journey, and it's been a wonderful adventure with God. And I've enjoyed my life immensely. It's rich and it's full, and it can be, girls. And I'm going to explain a little bit how. But anyway, Proverbs 31:10. It says, a wife of noble character who can find, she is worth far more than rubies. God wants to turn you into that, to that wife of noble character. And you may not have achieved that yet. And let's be honest, maybe he hasn't either, the guy that that God has for you. But this is what you need to focus on, and this is what you need to let God do, because that's who he wants you to be. And that's who you should want to be. The thing that you need to do as a single woman is combat loneliness. It's a battle. You need to fight it. You get around the holidays. You watch your married friends. You see your single friends find someone in their life, and you feel, why me, why me? Again, if you're focused on God, you won't really have time for that. But surround yourself with good Christian friends. This is Girlfriends AM, okay? You obviously are here surrounding yourself with women as you sit around the tables. You know, maybe there's a single table or you have other single people that you come in contact with. Make some good friends. Married friends, I've got married friends and I've got single friends. It doesn't matter. Make some good Christian, godly friends that will come alongside you like that three-strand cord. It's not just for marriages. It's for godly relationships in the church with girlfriends, and you need to support each other and ride through life together and you know, just enjoy each other and do things together. Focus on your family. If you have children, girls, we don't neglect our children to strive for a man. That's our mission field. Our children come first. And we need to focus on being good examples for them, especially whether you're married or you're single, you are what they look at and they model their relationships at when they grow up. So you will be that model for them as a single woman, and you need to represent God well and represent what God would have them do. And then they will follow your example and as you lead them. And also fulfill yourself with ministry. Get involved in the church. Start just getting involved. Do something. This is where you actually meet people. This is where I met people. I got involved. I was involved in 7 ministries when I first came to this church, and I was a single mother with a young son. And I mean, he's been raised up in this church, and he now serves in the house of God here as well. And I fulfilled my life and found purpose in serving the Lord in ministry here, volunteering, getting involved. Just fill your life with godly purpose. And, you know, and as you wait for God to bring that man, you will find happiness and fulfillment and joy in your life. Also, wait for God to tell you it's time. Ladies, we tend to kind of rush things, don't we? We if God's not doing something fast enough, we are going to help him get there. And that is just not a good thing when it comes to finding a life mate and a godly relationship. God wants you to wait until he tells you. And again, you may not be ready. He may not be ready. He may be at point A, you're at point B, and God can't bring you together until he resolves some things in your lives that will bring you together, and then you can be united as husband and wife, and you're not going to have all of the problems and complications when you force that kind of thing to happen prematurely. scripture is, he who finds a wife is a good thing. That, you know, the man finds you, ladies. It's, we don't go out and try to find him. He finds you. But you do need to position yourself. Once God tells you, okay, girl, it's time. You're ready. You know, you're not done. He's not done. You're not perfect. I'm not saying you need to wait for that day. But you're ready now. I'm giving you the green light. Go ahead. Put yourself out there. But put yourself in God. Don't go to the bar. You know, don't go down in the corner there to the bar and expect to meet a man of God who's going to treat you like Ephesians 5:25. You need to wait for the right person to come along. You need to position yourself in Christian singles groups. If you're going to get online to Christian sites, or make sure that you profile yourself as a born-again believer. Just throw it all out there. Just get Pentecostal on them, so the only people that respond to you are the ones who are really godly, because the rest of them will not click on your profile. Also, birth your relationships in the spirit and not the flesh. Galatians 5:17, I say walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And so you can birth this relationship in the spirit, or you can birth it in the flesh. And you ladies that, you know, you may know what I'm talking about here. Thank you so much. Thank you. Just second page. Thanks. And then 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. There is sex in the church. There's premarital sex in the church. I have some statistics that I want to show you. Because we need to go there, ladies who aren't married. And this is young. I mean, there's age groups. It spans every age group. I'm just going to read you something. Over 95% of the women who came to us at this pregnancy counseling center are single and sexually active, and 55% claim to have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Some admit that they are living a sinful life, which they knew is displeasing to God, but the vast majority have not made that connection at all. Sex outside of marriage is not godly. We do not, as single women, entertain sex outside of marriage. And there's another statistic here. Some researchers did a study at a college, showed that 61% of students who signed sexual abstinence commitment cards broke their pledges. 61%. And of the remaining 49 who kept their pledges, 55% said they had other types of sexual activity that they didn't consider to be wrong. So we need to educate ourselves that any type of sexual activity outside of marriage is not acceptable in the body of Christ. And we need to talk about it, because it's happening in the church. And we just need to address it. And if you have young adults in your house or teenagers, it needs to be talked about. We just need to speak openly, like we're doing right here. The word fornication occurs 36 times in the Bible in 32 verses in the King James Version. And sexual immorality occurs 19 times and 17 verses in the New King James Version. So God has something very much to say about how you conduct your body as a Christian woman, and especially outside of marriage. Just very quickly, operate as a new creation. Don't try to carry your past methods of catching a man or keeping a man or dealing with a man at all the same way. You are a new creation, and you are the prize. And my problem, just quickly, in my relationships is that I tended towards premature intimacy. I find this guy, I'm just in love with him immediately within the first few dates, and you know, I'm fantasizing myself being married to this guy. And I'm going to, you know, just live on life happily ever after. And that is really not a wise way to approach a relationship. And I continue to make that same mistake over and over again. So I get the wrong guy. And then, you know, even as I have been single for 27 years, I've actually been engaged a couple of times to people that would have been a huge mistake. And I thought they were godly, and they thought they were, you know, this was a God thing, and God spoke to both of us, and we made it almost to the altar. And I realized that I would have made one of the biggest mistakes of my life. Because once you enter into that kind of a contractual relationship with God and with a husband, you just don't get out of it. This is a covenant relationship. So you have to enter into these things cautiously. And the Bible does say that a righteous man is cautious in friendship. So we carefully choose people that we have our relationships with. In Proverbs 12:26, a righteous man is cautious or chooses his friends carefully in this version. Also, we're not unequally yoked with together with unbelievers. That's another scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:14. So just be sure that when you're online or, you know, we have to use today's technology as we saw with the texting. And, you know, there are all kinds of ways that people meet each other today. And it's not safe necessarily to be out and about meeting people. And you really need to be cautious, girls. Definitely just think of safety at all times. If you're going to meet somebody, go to a restaurant, drive your own car. Don't get in a car with that person. You don't know these people. Get to know them. I mean, I've done background checks on guys I've gone out with. And I'll pay the $50 to get it done because I want to make sure I've made mistakes, like I said. And it's dangerous out there if you're not wise. So just be wise and use caution. And the other thing that I want to say is give relationships time to grow. Pastor Sue has a saying, time wounds all heals. What that means is if the guy's a heel, time is going to wound him. Time is going to show. After a period of time in this relationship, his characteristics that are not going to be so good for you are going to come out. And in my experience, I've definitely had relationships where if I gave it long enough, because you feel like you want to get married, 3 months, 4 months, woo, I'm ready to go. Boy, I just want to get into that honeymoon and move on. But it's such an important decision that, you know, time is necessary to grow a healthy, mature relationship, and you need to grow a friendship with this individual. Proverbs 19:2, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. Nothing in the kingdom of God is birthed in haste and rush. If it's love today, it'll be love next year. And I just wanted to say, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ladies, don't let the devil beat you up about your past, okay? You're in Christ that's covered. It's under the blood as long as you confess this to God. Everything in the past is under the blood. God can create a new relationship. He can restore all this back to you. He will bring a godly man into your life, and you will serve God together if that's the desire of your heart. Or you'll live single, holy, and serve God. And either way, ladies, you're beautiful and God loves you.
Thank you so much, Christine. And you know, another reason why we want to bring you wisdom, but we wanted to introduce you. Yes, she has a book.
Just really quick, a book, Too Close, Too Soon. It's in the bookstore. This is the last copy, but they'll be here next week. It helps you to, when I talked about premature intimacy, it helps you to set healthy boundaries in a new relationship so that you're not, you know, talking on the phone 2-3 times a day, seeing each other all the time. I mean, you need to set a pace. I wouldn't go as far as to make the charts and everything in here. Glean what you can. This has really helped me. I literally pace my relationship. Okay, we're going to talk on the phone this many times a week. We're going to see each other this many times, and we're going to be alone the rest of the time so that we can hear from God and let this thing slow cook and mature in a healthy manner.
Thank you so much. And as I wanted to say, we want to present you the panel today because as women of the house, you need to know who the women are with healthy lifestyles and godly and proven lives. So as you women of the Rock need help, of course, you can call the front office. We do spiritual guidance with anybody that is a call this your church, if this is your church. But you also need to know these women. You'll see them around campus. You will see them during and after services. And these are the women that you can look up to, not because all of them are perfect, but because they have proven themselves in their relationship with God and do things in a godly way. So we have one more person we want to introduce you to. And I'm going to ask that as we go ahead to this, Marie, just pass along those little papers. We have little additional question papers for you that you can put your questions on. We will not have time today to answer them. But what we'll do, we will spread it out in the panel, and they can answer it shortly, you know, just briefly in writing. And we have a Facebook page called Women Rock. If you're not on Facebook, maybe you can come go with a friend. And if you're active on Facebook, just like the page. And we can, under the discussion tab, we can post whatever we get back from the girls in short answers to your questions. And this way we can cover more. Because the face-to-face time with the women, hearing their voices, seeing them up here, I think is very influential. So we've got Pam here. She's no stranger to most of you. She's been at The Rock just forever, married to an amazing man, going on 30 years one of these days, 2 weeks away from 30 years, 2 months away from 30 years. And I've asked her just to share in closing with us, what are the greatest builders and destroyers of intimacy that she has found over all these years?
This has been good, hasn't it? It's been really good. You guys are getting a lot of wisdom from these ladies. Okay, I'm going to make this quick. Biggest destroyers of intimacy. One is jealousy. Jealousy, where we always want to tear each other down. You know, tearing each other down to try to make yourself look better is really what we're doing. But jealousy is a big thing, even between husband and wife. Selfishness, always wanting your own way. It's not all about you. It's so not all about you. And I've talked about that before, but it's really not all about you, especially in your marriage. It's about your spouse, too. Okay, selfishness, always wanting your own way. Another one is insecurity. This is big with girls. Because when our husband wants to be intimate, a lot of times, what's the first thing we do? We want the light off. We don't want him to touch us in certain places because we think we're fat. We think we're ugly. You know what? I always would tell my husband, he'd put his arm around me right here, and I'd say, don't touch my fat. But, you know, that was offensive to him because he loves me. So it was my it was my own thing, of my own insecurity. And so you need to get over your insecurity. Your husband loves you for you. And you need to change how you feel about you. You need to, if you don't like it, change it, okay? But don't put that out there when you're trying to be intimate. Not making quality time for each other. You know, you can get so busy, like some of these girls said about scheduling sex, and it's so true, like V said, too. You still have to schedule sex when your kids are older, so it's just the way life is, I guess. And so, but you've got to make quality time for each other, and that's a big destroyer. Sometimes I remember my husband telling me one time, Pam, you're always so busy doing things for everybody else that you don't take time for us. And at first I was mad at him because I was like, ew, that wasn't nice. But you know what was really true. So sometimes, you know, you have to be honest, and, you know, the honesty hurts, but you need to hear it. And so sometimes we just don't take quality time for each other, but yet we'll make quality time for our friends. So think about that. Make quality time for your spouse. The scripture I picked for this was James 4:1, because we're talking about destroyers of intimacy. You know, a lot of times we end up arguing, like, now's not the time. You know, blah, blah, blah. It's a big deal to us, and yet we need to get off of ourselves and think about our husband. James 4:1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure, that war in your members? The Message Bible says, where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. Don't you love that? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. I think we need to get over ourselves. Biggest builders of intimacy. Builders, okay, this is to build it. Compromise. Listen to your husband. Listen to your spouse. Make the compromise. Once again, it's not all about you. If it was all about us as women, probably half of us would never have sex. So it's about compromise. Okay? You've got to compromise. You've got to get off of yourself. Another big thing is respect. Your man, he needs respect. I read this book called Love and Respect a long time ago, and it was so good because it was like the circle. We, as women, we want love. The men need respect. See, if we're respecting that husband of ours, he's going to show love to us. As we're receiving the love, we're going to respect. So you got to respect your man. Respect him. Even when you disagree. Okay? Quality time. Make time for intimacy. I just said that. Another thing is there's this really good book by Gary Chapman called The Five Love Languages. I really suggest that you take the test in there. Go get the book, take the test, whatever. But I'm just going to list the five love languages, because if you start practicing these five love languages, you're going to be good. And that is quality time, words of affirmation, build them up, build your husband up, words of affirmation, physical touch. That doesn't mean sexually, just physical touch. My husband loves to rub my arm. One of his gifts is physical touch, and he likes me to always rub him. And I'm like, that's not my gift. I'm not like that. But I've had to learn, like, you know, he likes it, so I do it for him. Compromise. Okay. Physical touch, gifts, gift giving, gift receiving, whatever it is. Sometimes my husband will surprise me with M&Ms because he knows I love them. So you know what I do? He loves this. I'll get a card, and I stick it under his pillow. And he loves it. And no reason. It's not our anniversary. It's not any reason. Just gift giving, whatever it may be. Okay? The other one is acts of service. And do something for him without him even asking. Just do it because you want to. You know, do unto others as you'd have them to do unto yourself, right? Building your husband up. I found something in Song of Solomon, and everybody seems to like want to run from Song of Solomon, but it's really, really beautiful. It's not just about husband and wife. Think about that with God, your Father, and you. Because we want intimacy with our spouse, but God wants intimacy with us. Okay, this is how Song of Solomon describes your husband, my husband, your husband, okay? My beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as the raven. His eyes are like the doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping with liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold, wet with beryl. His body is carved ivory inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Can you imagine if we as wives took this approach about our husbands, how much your relationship would change? Wow. So, three other things was embrace one another freely, tenderly, and lovingly. Intimacy reaches its greatest expression in marriage as husband and wife embrace each other without barriers. Second thing is learn to speak the language of love. Build each other up verbally, like we just said. It will cause each of you to be more secure in your relationship and improve your love life. God intended intimacy in marriage to be fulfilling, passionate, and exciting. It's not a bad thing. It's exciting. That's all.
Wow. Awesome. 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 Wow. That is a lovely scripture to send you out with. Now, many of you have heard things, you've heard tips and everything else, and you think, oh, this is hard. Listen, in the world, they say fake it till you make it, right? You know, we're in the kingdom of God, we say faith it till you make it. So you're just going to have to fake it, faith it, but do something in faith, even if you don't see it. So we're going to close off. We have just 4 minutes left. And if you can give us your questions on your way out. But before we go, some of you need a hug and a prayer here today after hearing this. Just right here, you just need a hug and a prayer, and I want you to just come up front. The rest of you can stand. Let's just take a moment before you go. Let's all stand up. And the panel of girls, we're going to just step down here. I'm going to pray, and they will just lay hands on you and give you a hug. And those of you in your personal relationships, whether you have them or not have them, if you just need somebody to agree with you, pray with you today, God is here. Holy Spirit is here. Don't be shy. Just come on out. And we just want to make sure that we see that God just touches. He wants to touch you through us. We are the body of Christ. So come on out. Come on out. We're just going to pray a prayer. And all of the girls on the panel is going to lay hands on you, give you a hug, and just come. There's blessing because God is here. We're going to pray.
Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We are girls, God, and we are your girls. And we know that you love us. Your word says you love us. You said you would guide us with the apple of your eye. So, Lord, we are just praying over all these women here. We are touching them. We are giving them a hug. We are just blessing them. We say, Father, bless them. Help them, God. We ask you to heal them. We ask you to restore them, Father. We ask you to bring back and give back to them whatever was stolen by the enemy in their lives. We just speak life. We speak prosperity. We speak health in their relationships, God. Those who are lonely, some in and some not in a marriage, Father. But those who are not married, especially if they are lonely in this place, lead them, God, through your grace. Guide them, Father. Show them the next step. Show them where their spot is in this amazing house. Show them where it is that you want them to serve, God. Show them where it is that their purpose is in your kingdom, God, because you said to the barren woman to shout and to sing, you said. You said, expand our boundaries in faith, and we shall not remember the shame of our youth, God. And we speak that over every woman in this place, that you would restore, and we agree with every prayer in every heart here. Here are prayers in this room going up to you right now, those in front and those in the seats. And we just want to come as girls and agree with every prayer for God to just get in your lives. We can agree with you right now. Just pray it and we can agree. God, we come in agreement, and your word says we're two or more agree. We come in agreement with every heart's cry, every woman's prayer in this place. And we say, Father, let it be done according to your will and according to your purpose in every heart and every life in this place, because there is nothing too hard for you. Your word says your ear is not heavy. Your arm is not too short to reach out and touch, listen to our cry, and give the desires of our hearts. So we speak whatever these dreams are, whatever these godly dreams and visions and destiny, we speak it over these women in the name of Jesus, that they will leave here not the same, but knowing they are not alone, and God cares about, Father, you care about every dream and every deepest desire in our hearts, God. And in the area of intimacy, just bless. Just give wisdom. Plead the blood of Jesus over all of them, God, in your precious, precious name. And everybody who's agreeing in faith, say amen.